Welcome back, listeners. This is part two, WrestleMania weekend hangover edition. I mean, I know we're a little late, but there was so much going on that weekend that we had to divide it into two segments. So please bear with us, and I hope you enjoy this second part of this two-part episode. What up, Keyote?
What's going on, my friend? What's happening?
All I got to say is it's been quite an eventful 9-day, 10-day period at this point.
Yeah, man. Some big things have happened. Some things we need to suss out, man, because I don't know what's true or not. So I'm losing track on what to believe and what not to believe, Lewis. So we got to talk about it, man. Got to talk about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying, because I've been reading so many reports and innuendo, and then this Sasha Banks thing is so confusing because I don't know if it's real. I mean, it's obviously real, but I don't know to what extent. Like, is she leaving? And we'll get into that a little later. But just a quick disclaimer. Now, I'm going to send out an apology to all the listeners, because in part one, the first part of part one where we discussed WrestleMania access, there was this very weird, I guess, a 2-second delay or overlap in the audio. So when you hear it on playback, it sounds like I'm talking over you.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, and I'm really, that's why I had to put this disclaimer. I'm really, to the listeners, that is, I'm really not talking over Keyote, and I'm really not trying to cut him off. It just... For whatever reason, that's just how the playback came out for that part when we're talking about WrestleMania access. But it doesn't, the audio is much, much clearer and fluid with our takeover review.
Okay. Listen, man, you know, sometimes, you know, technical difficulties happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not running a $1 million podcast.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, some of the greatest albums ever recorded were, well, it took a very minimalist approach. Wu-Tang Enter the 36 Chambers, the RZA recorded that and produced that in his basement.
Dude, you know, if he could do that classic album in the basement, Lewis, you and I can make radio gold, podcast gold with our cell phones and iPads, my friend. You know what I'm saying? So, listen, it can happen. It can happen.
Yes, anything is possible. And... Speaking of anything being possible, it is certainly possible for us to sit through and not an 8-hour. No. We weren't in attendance. But, okay, we went to Jack Dempsey's bar Sunday, yeah. April 7th, which is located in Midtown Manhattan. And then it was hosted and sponsored by Yep, I Like Wrestling. Shout out to Sonny Sofrito. This was... quite an interesting experience. This was your first time watching WrestleMania at a bar, right, with other people?
No, this was my second time watching WrestleMania at a bar with other people. I went to another bar in the city of a guy. It was a while back. This was my first, you know, Jack Dempsey's, you know, it was my first, you know, experience there.
And good thing I got there when I got there, because I arrived at, I want to say 4:15 Eastern time, of course, and there was already a long-ass line. And the last time I had gone to any of these events by Yep, I Like Wrestling was 2016, and it was packed, but not to this extent. So they've increased their fan club, I guess you could say, and their amount of supporters. There was a lot of people, MVP and Shad of Crime Time, formerly of Crime Time, they were live in attendance, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, man, it was good to see them, man. You know, you're right. We were on the fourth floor or third floor?
The fourth floor.
Fourth floor, and you could tell like they might have just added that section to it, especially the section we were sitting in, because behind the screen were these black bags covering certain building materials. So I think I don't think they're finished with it yet, but I think, you know, that's a good move because like you just said, I mean, when I was walking up to the door, the place was, the line was down the block and I was like, oh my God, please. I hope I don't have to wait on this line. I was like, no, man, no. So, thank God for reservations, man, because, we would have been screwed.
Oh yeah, if we hadn't made reservations, yeah, we would have been watching it out on the street on our phones.
Do you think they had to turn people away? Do you think it got to that? Do you think it got that far?
It's possible. It's possible because I know that a few blocks away at Legends Bar, which they used to have events at, Sir Wilkins of Jobberteers podcast, shout out to him. That's the guy that we met at WrestleMania Access.
Yes.
Yeah, he was hosting his event at Legends Bar. So if anything, I'm sure people had to squeeze in there. And Al Snow was in attendance for that one.
Yes, I saw some pictures and some clips. I gotta say, man, Al Snow, I did not. Lewis, I didn't even know that was Al Snow. He's jacked out of his mind, number one. Like, he's jacked. And if, when you get a chance, look him up. His face looks completely different. Like, he doesn't look like Al Snow from what I remember.
Judging from that picture, he looks, I don't want to say he looks terrible, but he looks old.
He looks old, but dude, he's jacked. He's muscular. He's huge, and his face looked like he had some work done to it. I don't know, man. I don't know what happened, but he doesn't look like Al Snow. That's all. I don't remember Al Snow. I don't remember Al Snow looking like that. That was scary. That was a little nerve wracking for me.
Well, maybe he'll come back to WWE, and they'll finally give him the WWE title.
Well, we ain't gonna go that far, Lewis. Let's not go that far.
Yeah, no, not quite. Yeah, in any case, let's get into the pay-per-view. I'm gonna try to run through the matches as quickly as possible because it was a long event. To give everybody an overview, let's just put it this way. After we reached the climax, or what seemingly was the climax of the pay-per-view of Kofi Kingston winning the title from Daniel Bryan, the rest of the bar was dead for the rest of the night. I mean, it was really hard for people to get their energy up because I kept on going to the restroom and taking breaks and stuff like that, heading to the bar, getting drinks. And every time I would come back, it was like with each passing match, people were just like having their heads down, just their energy just wasn't the same. The energy in the building just wasn't the same, bro.
You're right. You're right. It was even for us, Lewis, even for us, man, I was losing it for a second, bro. Like, I was so tired. Like, I was like, yo. And the other thing is, I was afraid I was going to miss my last damn train out of the city. That's how long this pay-per-view ran, Lewis.
Wow.
Is that I was afraid of missing the last train out of the city. That's how long this show ran.
Dude, so, I would have felt terrible if you would have. What? When was the last train?
What time we did it? We got out of we were officially out of the bar like at 12:15, I think, or 12:05.
No, I think it was close to 12:30.
Yeah, around 12:30. My last train was 1:15.
Holy cow.
So I looked, I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God, why are we still here? Number one. Number two, yeah, I got to run for this train, Playboy. Peace out. Like, I had to get out of it. I had to get out of it. I couldn't even say bye to the Brothers of Destruction. I had to get out of there, man.
I hear you, man, because my boy Jonathan, shout out to Jonathan, he showed up too, and he had to take the train to Jersey. So, you know, he had to make his train as well. So, you know, it was, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it just goes to show you how long WrestleMania is. You almost missing your train home.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We gotta write Vince and be like, listen, bro, you gotta do something about this, man. Because I heard nightmare stories about people leaving MetLife and Transit, and there weren't enough bus drivers to get people to the train. Dude, I heard it was a nightmare. A nightmare.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
I don't know if we dodged a bullet or not, man. I don't know.
I think we. It's fair to say that we definitely did dodge a bullet. Everything was all well. We all got home safe, and we're here.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah.
So, the pre-show. I mean, I'm not going to get into the pre-show too much, but let's just say that the hometown guys all went over. Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder won the Raw tag titles. Carmella won the Women's Battle Royal, and Tony Nese, Long Island's own, won the cruiserweight title. So they were definitely going for the hometown pop to, I guess, get the event started.
Yeah, which I liked, to tell you the truth. And, you know, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, I mean, dude, like, it wasn't just for the pop. I think they honestly deserved it. But because, I mean, look, those two guys that put in work, they're pretty decent in the ring. I mean,
they are.
I mean, why not? Even if they don't have long runs, at least you show them some respect by giving them the titles, for Christ's sake. I mean, good Lord, man. Zack Ryder's been nothing but an advocate for the WWE, yet he gets crapped on every single time. And Curt Hawkins, good Lord, man. From a great rise to the top to like a crappy like pre-show dark match, like losing everything. Like he's been through it all. So I feel I'm happy for them, man. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I was happy for them too, definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, the main show started off with a bang, and it started off with a pleasant surprise. We get Alexa Bliss with an opening promo. Hulk Hogan does his Hulkamania poses, but then Paul Heyman comes out. And that look on Hogan's face, that was legit shock because they decided – this is what I read on afterwards, after the pay-per-view. They decided to have the Universal Championship match between Lesnar and Rollins go on first about an hour before showtime. And
really?
Yeah, because Brock Lesnar, apparently he got into it with Vince because he was pissed that him and Rollins weren't the main event. So he says, if I'm not the main event, then I'd rather go on first because I'm not going to wait until match number 7 or 8 when the crowd is already burned out. Because, like, I deserve to be in that main event spot. So put me on first so I can get the fuck out of here, you know, for – not in those words, but, or maybe in those words, but yeah. So Paul Heyman comes out and he's like, let's just get this show on the road. Lesnar Rollins, not much of a match, but it was such a sense of gratification to finally see Lesnar lose that damn belt.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. You know, the more and more I hear about Brock Lesnar, he's such a piece of garbage, man. I mean,
yeah.
he couldn't even, he's the main event every time he shows up on television. So he couldn't give the women the one night. You know what I'm saying? Like, he couldn't let them live for that one moment, which they probably will never do again in a very long time. I mean, come on, man. Like, what kind of human being are you? And you know what it is? And Vince looks at him as such a major cash cow that Brock could basically do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants to Vince. And Vince isn't going to do shit. Like, what's he going to do? You're going to fire Brock Lesnar? Okay, he'll just go back to the UFC and never come back. Wow. Like, what? Like, I get very. Brock is, to me, one of the worst human beings in wrestling. And I think. Because he's such a terrible person to deal with, man. He's such a diva. He's such a bully back there, man. I mean, come on. Really? But, Lewis, it all worked out for the best because I enjoyed that match being first. It definitely set the pace for the rest of the night, for at least a good chunk of the night.
Yeah, I can imagine the fans – well, not that I can imagine because I actually saw footage of – well, live footage of people that were in attendance of when Rollins won the title, and yeah, that's a good way to blow the roof off the joint right away, you know, first match on the card. Absolutely. I agree with you. Lesnar is too much of a diva, and he likes to pick and choose his battles because 2 years ago when he won the title from Goldberg, that wasn't the main event because I guess they told him that Taker was going on last against Roman Reigns. Why didn't we hear any stories of him putting up a big fight, big fuss then? You know what I'm saying?
True.
Because he has legitimate respect for Taker. He's actually really close with Undertaker. So, yeah, he picks and chooses his battles. Look, Lesnar is always going to be in my top 10. I love Lesnar as a performer, but I think as a person, leaves much to be desired.
Absolutely, Lesnar is a piece of garbage, man. I mean, come on, man. He's something. he's something else, man. You can't, you just can't let the ladies live. You just can't let them do their thing just for a little bit. No, you can't. It's just, I don't know. But you're right. Listen, he, well, whatever he wants to do with Vince, as far as the changing of the cards and you know, making sure, listen, I want to be main event and all that stuff. I get it. Whatever, you're the guy, you're the main guy, you're the cash cow, but come on, man. Have some sense, man. Like, just let's just stop for a second. Just stop.
Yeah. Man, I mean, whatever, man. It's just nice to finally have a champion on Raw working full time.
Absolutely. It feels good.
You can actually tune in and you can see some title matches every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Second match. Jesus, I'm drawing a blank here. Cause I'm doing this all off of memory. That's how good my memory is. Yeah, I ain't taking no notes. We're going off the cuff for part two. So let's see. Universal. Okay, there you go. AJ Styles defeats Randy Orton. I thought it was a solid match. Nothing more to say. I wasn't expecting a 5-star classic or anything like that. It was a solid match. Good match all around. AJ Styles actually got injured, legit.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so he's going to be taking some time off. He I want to say it was his hip. I could be wrong, but it was when he was attempting the first phenomenal forearm.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a good match overall. I have no complaints.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it, once again, I was a little disappointed, Lewis, in another AJ Styles match. I thought it was a solid wrestling match, but there was nothing entertaining about it. There was nothing like high stake. It was just okay. Like it wasn't, you know, Lewis, I had some time to think about all these matches, and I went back and saw some things and scrolled through some, and now my whole opinion changed from when we first talked about it while at Jack Dempsey's. So what, looking at the match again, I just thought it was okay. And if I was in MetLife, I would probably been slightly disappointed.
I could see that. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I have not gone and rewatched any of the matches. So this is just my recollection from a little over a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, so far, a good start to the pay-per-view. The SmackDown Tag Team title match, the Usos go over Aleister Black and Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, Rusev, and The Bar. Good match, you know, spot fest, what you could expect from a four-way tag match. And the right people went over. The Usos deserve to go over.
Totally agree. Spot fest, love the match, very entertaining. Usos deserve to go over. Really nothing more I could say about that. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty solid, entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. Next match was Miz. Actually, I was going to say Miz going over Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon actually went over The Miz in a false count anywhere match. This match was really entertaining. And I honestly didn't expect anything less because it was one of the stronger stories leading into the pay-per-view. I thought it was very effective storytelling with Shane's heel turn, with Miz's dad and his involvement. And that superplex off of that platform, that was a really nice spot. And I guess it was somewhat of a clever finish because you would think that The Miz would just roll over and get the three count, but it was Shane that actually got his arm over Miz and picking up the victory. So Shane just had to put himself over.
Yeah, of course he did. I thought the same thing. I thought really solid story. Probably the most solid, one of the most solid, top three solid stories going into Mania easily. Great emotion and action between the two. I loved heel Shane. I think it's entertaining more so than the baby Shane. I don't find him entertaining. I like heel Shane, man. This heel Shane is great. Grabbing the announcer and telling him to announce his name again. How brilliant is that? Like, it's just so fitting. It's so good. But match overall was good. I just felt that the last spot, the suplex off of the platform, looked a little staged, like the bottom where they landed just looked like it was nothing but padding. Like it looked like, okay, it's padding. Like it didn't look, you know what I'm saying? Like it just didn't look believable that this was like a hard hit. I don't know.
I think you are nitpicking, Keone. I don't agree with you, because if you go back in history and watch all of these type of spots, especially the Shane McMahon spots, like the first time he's ever done anything like this was SummerSlam 2000 against Steve Blackman. Every single time, there's always some type of padding because, I mean, not for nothing, they're falling like 30, 40, 50 feet from the fucking rafters. So, I mean, you know, you don't want to kill the poor bastard either. So you got to have like some padding or some crash mats.
Oh, yeah, of course. But it just looked too padded. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like it looked too padded. Like when they dropped down, Lewis, like if you watch it again, when they drop and land on it, you can almost see the air. Like you can almost see like it was a deflated balloon under them. Like I don't know. It just looked a little too padded. I guess
you're a better wrestling analyst than I am for this episode, because like I said, I haven't gone back and watched WrestleMania. You have, so you have a one up on me. My opinion is invalidated.
No man, take a look when you get a chance and let me know what you think.
Yeah, I gotta cough up the money for the network again. No, I planned on signing up for the network to keep it for like another month or so, just so I can go back and rewatch those events like TakeOver and Mania. Not the whole Mania, obviously, but like, you know, the three or four matches that stood out to me.
Very nice.
Next, the Fatal 4-Way match for the women's tag titles. The Iconics, Peyton Royce, and Jesus, I'm drawing a blank. Billie Kay winning the big one over Sasha Banks and Bayley, the Divas of Doom, and Nia Jax and Tamina. There is a lot coming out of this match, bro.
Yeah,
It was. I mean, the match itself was fine. I enjoyed the match for what it was. I thought it was decent. I did not expect the Iconics to win, and It all makes sense with the aftermath of all the backstage stories that have come out since this match. Because remember what I said to you and the twins, when as soon as Sasha Banks and Bayley came out, they looked different. They didn't look like they didn't have their WrestleMania elation faces on. They looked more like, we're here, let's get this shit over with. You know, they had that look of disappointment, and I was pointing that out. I'm like, are they going to drop the titles here? Sasha Banks doesn't look too thrilled. You can see it visibly on Sasha Banks' face more than Bayley's. Or am I just bugging?
No, you're right, because when you mentioned it as they were coming out, I didn't even notice that until you did, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Something's wrong here. Just tell after that there was just something off, man. And the match itself was okay. And I'm shocked that they didn't keep the belts on Sasha and Bayley, simply because they are the first champions and they are so over and big. And, you know, you would think that they would want them to hold it for a few programs. But having the Iconics win, number one, the Iconics are not that good in the ring.
No.
But they got hella charisma and really, really good heat on the mic. Like I enjoy them for that, but they are not anywhere near being tag team champions or holders of any belt. So I was a little shocked by that. I was just thought maybe Vince likes the long black hair on one of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I like them. It's like you said, I think they have tons of charisma, and I love their promo. I love their mic work. And they've really come a long way since their NXT days, because that's when they first started getting over. But, yeah, I think then it's too soon for them to be holding tag team gold.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Vince just has a soft spot for like that heel persona. And you know what? For the past few years, it's been documented that Vince isn't really that high on Sasha Banks anyway.
Right.
And maybe she did something to rub him off the wrong way. I don't know. But we're going to talk about Sasha Banks after we discuss WrestleMania and Raw and whatnot, because, yeah, that deserves, like, a different piece.
Right, right. Very, very true.
Yeah. Yeah, next, you would think this would be booked as the main event, but it was smart to place the WWE Championship match sixth on the card, because we're already, like, what, 2-3 hours into the show?
Yeah.
I'm including the pre-show, obviously. But yeah, we're already like a ways way into WrestleMania. So this match was fucking awesome. Match of the night by far. And it was just fucking awesome. And I expected no less. And it felt so good seeing Kofi Kingston win the big one. Once he got that three count, everybody just erupted. And that's how you know that Kofi really has the people, the support of the fans. And it's just so crazy how Daniel Bryan was in this position just 5 years ago. Isn't that mind-boggling, bro?
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, Lou, the match. Okay, what did you think of the match overall? Again, what did you think?
I thought the match was great.
The match was great. Okay.
Yeah, they have really good chemistry from their in-ring work. Previous, they just have good chemistry. They just do.
They have good chemistry. I do agree.
And like I said, I thought it was the best match by far on the entire card. Great match.
I will go as far as saying it was definitely the highlight of the night. One of the top three highlights of the night. Right. I would go as far. Yeah, I would definitely say it's probably the highlight of the night, man. I mean,
yeah,
the match
is solid. It's. I'm sorry to cut you off. Now I'm really cutting you off.
No.
forget the audio delay. Yeah, no, my bad. I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, it is.
It's all right.
It's probably the. I think it's like the only thing that people have been raving about since WrestleMania. I mean, Becky Lynch had her moment. Seth Rollins had his moment, but. This is the moment that everybody's talking about because how historic it was.
It was historic. It was a great moment. It was a moment that should have happened years ago for someone other than Kofi. Maybe another black wrestler. I don't know who. Yeah. But it should have been something that happened a long time ago. I was listening to CM Punk earlier doing a show, and he mentioned WWE should be more ahead of a curve instead of behind it. Trying to, you know, should be doing what's right instead of what's hot right now. Maybe they could be more trailblazers when it comes to that, which I totally agree. But it was a great moment. And solid match. I mean, him and Daniel were great together, man. I mean,
yeah, they really do.
You know, really, really well. And I'm very happy for Kofi, man. I hope this is a long reign. I really hope it's a long reign, man. I hope it's not one of those things where Vince is like, all right, well, we gave it to you. You know, let's see what happens and we'll go from there. You know, I don't know. But yeah, man, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Kofi is over like Rover. I mean, on top of having Xavier Woods and Big E in your corner and the merchandise selling, you represent the first African-born champion, the first African-born superstar to win that title at WrestleMania. And there's no slowing down, man. Like, the fans are really, really behind this guy. And the reason why it's such a feel-good story, I was thinking today, why didn't Rey Mysterio get this same reception in 06 when he won the world title? And the reason why is because, you know, Rey Mysterio was a small guy. And at the time, I felt happy for him. And I'm like, yeah, he deserved it because he's been busting his ass. But was it really the time for Rey Mysterio to become world champion? And I think back, and it's really because it was a sympathy push because Eddie had just died.
And they needed a really historic feel-good moment. But the Reign itself sucked because he was booked to lose virtually every week. And people just weren't really buying Rey Mysterio's world champion at the time. It might have been a couple of years too early, or maybe it shouldn't have happened at all. Who knows? But I think in hindsight, it's more of a sympathy push for Rey. Fast forward to 2019, there's no sympathy in this shit involved. Okay, maybe Vince is capitalizing on inclusion, right? We're a year removed from the cultural touchstone that was Black Panther. So diversity is all the rage now. So maybe that could be part of it too. But this felt like Vince was, for the first time in a long time, or at least since Daniel Bryan, for the first time in years, that he's actually listening to what the people want. The people want Kofi Kingston currently, regardless of the fact that he's Black, he's from Ghana, he could have been Chinese, right? It's just he gets a reaction, and that's just a reaction, like a tepid reaction. Like, people are really into him. They're really into him, and it's just a really feel good. I couldn't be more happier for anybody right now.
Yeah, it's the best moment of 2019 thus far.
Yeah.
Is Kofi winning that title? Well deserved. You know, I tell you the truth, like, honestly, did you ever think Kofi was champion material?
No.
No, right? Okay. I thought it was the only one. Okay.
if you had told me 10 years ago when he was feuding with Randy Orton, because that was 2009, that Kofi Kingston was gonna become WWE champion, I would have scratched my head and said, I can't see it. But because we've seen what he's done over the years, and because he retains his popularity, it's like you can see it. This right now, this is the perfect time for him to be WWE champion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's kind of like Bryan Danielson. Could you have seen Bryan Danielson as WWE champion back in 07 when he was working the indies? No. But the timing was right. Timing is everything in wrestling. Timing is everything.
I agree. Timing is everything. And this was a great, great feel good moment, man. It was beautiful. Good stuff.
Now, WrestleMania is so damn long that we're going to take a break, because the second half of this segment is going to talk about the second half of the pay-per-view that really dragged. So listeners, stay tuned. We'll get back to WrestleMania in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. Coyote, are you ready for the second half of WrestleMania?
Yeah, man. While my eyes are still open, I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, we all peaked. We all peaked with that moment. Listen. Give me Triple H, Batista, and then give me the main event, and I would have been fine. I didn't need anything else, because I was already drained. And we already had a long-ass weekend. Well, I had a long-ass weekend because I was just at the Garden the night before.
Yeah, man. I wasn't at the Garden, but I was still tired, Louis. That's how bad it was. Like, I was still feeling the effects of the previous, like, 3 or 4 hours that we were just in. Like, my God. I was over it. I said this to you in person. I was like, thank God I didn't take my wife to this. Do you know how terrible that would have been? Oh my God. I just think she would have killed me, man. Like, oh my God. And then the drive from Jersey back to New York?
Oh,
Westchester,
hell
no. Westchester County? Louis, we wouldn't have gotten home till like 3 a.m, bro. Like, it would have been terrible. It would have been terrible.
I'm telling you, Kate would have had your head on a pole, bro.
Exactly, man. Straight,
this event, we're only on the main card, at least. We're only 6 matches in.
Oh, my goodness.
Match number 7, Samoa Joe goes over Rey Mysterio and retains the U.S. title in about 30-something seconds. Rey Mysterio's ring attire is always dope for these events. I mean, he... We've seen him as the Flash, as Daredevil, as a Na'vi from Avatar. Mm-hmm. He's done it all. But this is really one of my favorites. Like him as Mysterio, because it was so appropriate. Mysterio right. from Spider-Man, that is. Not much to say to this match other than it was a squash. I wasn't expecting it to be a squash, but I'm okay with it. It moves the pay-per-view along. But as I found out later on, Rey Mysterio had a knee injury, I believe. So that's why they had to
cut it short. Yeah, see, I didn't know that, and it makes sense, and I wasn't mad at it. It was sort of the match that I didn't really care about seeing, to tell you the truth, out of the entire one of the matches out of the entire night. So it was what it is. I thought it was a little when it happened. I thought, damn, how disrespectful can you be to Rey? Jesus, man! Like it could have been decent. Who knows? But you just squashed Rey in like 30 seconds. I don't know. But with the knee injury, I get it. So I wasn't too mad at it.
No, I'm sure that it would have been a good match. I was actually looking forward to a proper match between the two. But, you know, this is just a case of them just getting people on the card just for the sake of doing so.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, they could have just saved an actual match between those two for Money in the Bank, which is the next pay-per-view. I would have been fine with that. So, you know, it is what it is. Next, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. This match, you can definitely tell that the crowd was fatigued at this point because I don't think many people cared for this match. I know I didn't. I don't really have much to say other than the fact that fans are in an awkward position where they don't know how to react to Roman Reigns anymore. You feel bad. You feel that empathy for him as a person, and God bless him. You know, he's in my prayers, and I hope that he continues to battle the leukemia. But as a wrestling personality, as a wrestling character, I still don't care for Roman Reigns, even though his mic work has gotten better. I don't care. I don't care. I they gave him the sympathy win, and I read online, and it was quoted perfectly, where this was – a moment that felt gratuitous in a night that already had too many feel-good moments. And that was like the perfect quote that encapsulated that entire. And it's true. It's true because if you already have Rollins and Kofi Kingston at that, up to that point winning titles, I mean, did you really need another feel-good win? Because we know that Becky Lynch is going to win and walk out as champion. We know that. Right. Did you really need this feel-good win at the expense of Drew McIntyre? I don't think so. But it was – I feel for the guy. You know, his life was literally on the line just several months ago. And, you know, it was the camera focusing on him in the corner saying his prayers and, you know, he's getting emotional. You feel for the guy. But at the same time, I didn't care for the match.
I didn't care for the match. I thought this would have been the perfect match to get Drew over. But they, of course, didn't do that. Yeah, I think, Lewis, we can go back to booing Roman. I think it's a wrap. I mean, why not? you know, the crowd will turn on him. It's going to happen very soon. They're going to turn on him. And I think they should because we're getting the same old stupid ring attire, same old dumb entrance, same old music. He should have spent this time revamping who he wants to be coming back this second. Lewis, it was almost, yes, he was fighting a major, you know, cancer, but at the same time, while you're sitting there or while you're home or while you're doing things, you know, come up with ways to come back fresh. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was the perfect time to take off that time and come back fresh. And instead, we get the stale, same old Roman Reigns, who is counting on the sympathy pop. So, yeah, he should have worked on some other stuff, man. He should have come back a little fresher, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. This match didn't make the event any better. No. what is it? What are we on? Match number 9. Triple H goes over Batista in a no holds barred match. This was an entertaining match. I really dug Batista's heel turn. I've always liked Batista better as a heel. This was a very simple storyline going into it. You know, you had some good spots, some clever spots, like ripping out the nose ring and that kind of shit. I was entertained by it. It's not going to go down as an all-time memorable match, but it was a good, serviceable brawl is what it was. And as it turns out, it was Batista's retirement match because he officially announced his retirement. So what better way to go out than a match against Triple H at WrestleMania?
Yeah, it was – you know, I think I wanted a little more from it. The story in the beginning was so good. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of just, like, died down. And Batista, I think, was either very nervous or struggling with lines or something because he just seemed – every time he would try to cut a promo or say stuff, or it just seemed like he was struggling to remember what the hell he was – like, his intent. Like, what is he doing? But the match itself, I love the ripping of the nose ring. Some really good. There were some really nice spots. I don't know what, but I just felt there was something missing, Lewis. I don't know. I felt like there was something else missing. Maybe I don't know. Maybe a little more brutality. I don't know. Maybe give us a chair shot in the head. I don't know. Give me something different. I don't know. I was expecting this to be a brutal fight, and we got that to an extent, but I don't know. I just felt like there was something missing. So,
yeah, my expectations weren't that high either. I knew it was going to be an entertaining match, but you got to remember too, the age combined of these two guys is like almost 100. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you're not going to get Batista versus Triple H for the world title circa 2005. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. With Triple H doing the blade job and, you know, because that was actually a good main event. But, you know, you're not going to get that because that was damn near almost 15 years ago. So, you know, within the confines of that, I thought it was serviceable. I mean, they did what they were sought out to do. Triple H's entrance was great.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, he always has some crazy over the top entrance. Some of them are goofier than others, but he always has a WrestleMania entrance. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Wow. The next match, Angle Corbin.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh my God,
Lewis, you got real hot for this one, man. You got real.
Of course, this is the match that woke me up. Listen, Kurt
you
Angle.
You went straight heel on this match, man.
Yeah, I did go heel on this match. Fuck that, man. Kurt Angle is one of my – listen, Kurt Angle is one of my top five fucking favorite wrestlers of all fucking time. You do not give him Baron Corbin for his final match. You do not have Baron Corbin go over. I have no problem with Kurt Angle losing in his retirement match. That's not the issue that I had. The issue is he lost so anticlimactically to Baron fucking Corbin. And then after the match, oh, I just want to thank you guys. Let's play that music and say what I want to hear one last time. That's not the way to go out, man. Oh, God. Vince McMahon has a vendetta against any wrestler that worked for TNA. I am convinced. Like, this is a fucking you. TNA WCW vendetta. Kurt Angle deserves so much better than that.
I agree with you 1,000%. What I'm confused about is why didn't Cena take that, man? Like, why did he come out during a stupid Thugonomics? I mean, it was cool. It was nostalgic and cool to see at the moment. But if you think about it, why not have the one last match with Kurt, man? Like, make that come out as the guy with of Thugonomics. I don't know. Who cares? But it should have been him. It should have been him in my eyes. And Yeah, this having Baron go over, yeah, this was that was brutal. That was brutal. I tried to give Baron a chance, but I think being around you that weekend made me hate Baron Corbin even more. So I don't know what happened. I'm not a fan of Baron anymore. Thanks to Lewis. But
yeah, I did my job. I hate Baron Corbin. Job. I hate him even more because Vince has his nose so far up his ass. I never was into Baron Corbin. He just doesn't do it for me. I don't care if he has the long hair with the lone wolf gimmick or the constable gimmick. Baron Corbin sucks. He fucking sucks, man. And it's a shame that he's getting more time out of my mouth than the Thugonomics segment with Elias that right. John Cena had. Because I actually enjoyed that segment. I really enjoyed John Cena as the Thugonomics character back in the day. Yeah. But in any case, that left a sour taste in my mouth. And yeah, the worst piece of shit moment of WrestleMania.
Would you say worst moment in the last three WrestleManias?
Good Lord Almighty. Shit. I don't know. I would have to really think about that one. But he ranks up there. It's up there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I think the next match was the Intercontinental title match, right? Lashley and Balor? Or was it something
before? Yeah. Yes, I think that was it.
Okay. Well, what does it matter at this point anyway?
Yeah, right.
Because nothing that eventful happened anyway until the main event. The crowd is like already dead.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Exhausted. They're fatigued.
You're right.
It was cool seeing Finn Balor finally come out as a demon. I don't even remember the last time he's done that. Maybe SummerSlam last year. I don't remember. But he finally wins. Not finally. He wins back the Intercontinental title, which makes his Intercontinental title at Elimination Chamber seem stupid.
Right.
So this is the plan that they should have had from the get-go. But I don't have any words for this match. It was just a nice title win for Finn Balor.
Nice title win for Finn Balor. Great to see the Demon. Huge fan of Leo Rush. They need to do something with that dude ASAP. Bobby Lashley came out with some cool contacts. But Bobby still sucks. still sucks, man. My God. Whatever you can't do anything to make Bobby any better. Like they've given him everything. Cool entrances, great opponents, titles, and still he manages to suck so bad. I feel the way you feel about Baron Corbin. About Baron Corbin, I feel that way about Bobby Lashley.
Shit. I mean, I don't blame him. He's trash, man. He's just not good.
Trash. He's not good, man. He's not good. So Leo needs to escape him quick because Leo doesn't need him, but I think he needs Leo. So
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. The historic main event. Becky Lynch wins both the SmackDown and Raw Women's Championships from Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. Now, again, I am basing this off of one viewing. This match was pretty good. Not the main event that I was expecting. Not the memorable match that I wanted it to be. But it definitely woke the crowd up because the crowd was just invested in all three women. And I don't like that botched finish. That finish came across very botched. I mean, I know it was. I read online that it was actually planned for her to win the match that way with that kind of roll up, with a scoop roll up, whatever you call that, backslide, I guess, whatever it's called. So, yeah, she was supposed to win the match like that, which is very odd. But I guess it adds more realism to it in the sense that you can get a three count out of nowhere because that's essentially what pro wrestling is,
right.
You know? But I thought it was good. You know, it was enjoyable for the most part. There were some sloppy spots, but it was enjoyable for the most part. And I was happy for Becky getting her moment. She deserves it. She's over like Rover. I love Becky anyway. But not. it wasn't the ending to WrestleMania that I had hoped for. It was an anticlimactic finish, and I think the crowd was just more confused than anything else.
Yeah, I think the crowd was confused by the botched finish, especially. I don't think Ronda slid clean enough.
Yeah, that was her. Like, I put that on Ronda, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, like she didn't slide clean enough. It was good. It was good. Like I didn't hate it or love it. I thought it was good. As the main event for Mania, I don't think it lived up to that big hype, to tell you the truth. I don't think it lived up to the big hype of being the main event at WrestleMania. Like, I just didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I feel sometimes watching Ronda that she's going to either kill somebody or kill herself. I don't know. Like, she's got intensity, but when she's doing some of these moves and throws and all that stuff, she looks like she's really going to hurt somebody. Like, she looks like she's ripping the arm out of the socket of somebody. And if you look back, Lewis, and I read something about this, I've noticed this. Do you notice Ronda only has maybe two or three moves? That's it?
Yeah, she's got that swinging Samoa drop. She's got that that arm bar. I don't even know what her other move is.
She's got the arm bar-ish thing that you were talking about. She's got the Samoan swing drop, and then she's got this flip over her hip kind of move. Like, she's flipping you constantly over her hip with one arm.
Kind of like a hip toss.
Yes, like a hip toss. And that's really it. Like, what else does she do? Like, she picked up wrestling fast, yes.
She did. I give her credit for that.
But when it comes to her promo, she's still a little weak. She's still rushing through them, which makes it hard to understand her. I like the intensity, but the intensity is a little bit too much. She says great things in her promos, but I think it's because I think it's so choppy and too fast that people miss it. But, you know, she's a work in progress, I think. But the match overall, I thought it was good. It was okay. Like, this is why, and when I'm gonna give my overall grade, Lewis, you'll understand why. But I had time to really think about that. But yeah, that's it for that one. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it.
It surpassed the last three WrestleMania main events. That's for sure. I mean, you think back to last year, Lesnar Reigns. The year before that, Reigns and Taker. That was a real stinker.
Yeah.
The year before that, Reigns and Triple H. So we could legit say that this was the best WrestleMania main event in years. Literally.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, so at the very least, I give them credit. They all busted their asses.
Ronda
Rousey actually did break her hand.
Yes, I heard that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and she will be taking time off. It was officially announced today that she's taking time off to start a family. So we don't even know if she's going to be back next year.
Dude, so they wanted her back for Mania next year to do a rematch with Becky.
Yeah, a one-on-one match with Becky.
But that's kind of pushing it, depending on when she gets pregnant and all that stuff. So who knows when that's going to happen. I mean, I think that's pushing it. I think that's pushing it.
Yeah, so. Unless she conceived her child yesterday, I do think that's pushing it.
So I mean, what did you think of Ronda's run, man? Like, did you think it was good? Like, are you satisfied with it if you're Ronda or if you're a fan? Like, how do you feel about it?
I'm fine with it. The reason why is because you got to give her credit. She's an outsider coming into our world. She ruled the world of MMA, but MMA is not pro wrestling. And she made the most of her opportunity. You know, limited moveset, limited mic skills and all. I have no problems really with her run. It was a solid 1 year run. I mean, you know, is she going to go down as one of my favorites of all time? No, but it was entertaining. It was, she's Ronda Rousey. It's a draw. So I have no issues with it.
Right.
As far as WrestleMania, sorry.
No, I was just gonna say I don't have a problem with it either, other than I don't know. I wish there were more dynamic storylines that she was in, like a Becky. I don't know. Like all the other storylines she was in just was pure domination. There wasn't anybody else that was kind of a threat, if you say, like, so it would have been interesting to see her take on another person who was a threat, or story wise, it was more compelling, like a Becky Lynch and her. So, you know, maybe next round she'll maybe get into more of that. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows, man?
Yeah.
As far as my overall score for WrestleMania, I really can't give it anything higher than a B-.
Okay.
And I might even bring it down to a C+ just because it was too damn long. But that's the highest I would give it, a B-. I wouldn't give it anything higher than that. A family friend of mine, he said that it was one of his top five favorite Manias of all time.
And top this is, five?
Well, this is it. This is the thing. He, first of all, he's like 20, maybe 21.
Okay.
Okay, so he hasn't experienced the WrestleManias that we've experienced in real time. So there's that. Then there's the fact that he was there in person. So, you know, naturally he's going to put that down as one of his top five. So I could see from that vantage point, but for us, for much older fans, no. It was a good WrestleMania though. Overall, it was good. It's just that WrestleMania, I don't think could ever go back to the way it was unless they shorten it. It's just too long, man. Too long.
Yeah, Lewis. I give it overall grade, if I'm going to grade it, C+ tops. I was even thinking possibly a C-.
Damn, it wasn't that bad, dude. Come on. Listen, there have been worse WrestleManias than this one. Like, C- is like basically saying like it was almost shitty.
Like, Lewis, the matches to me were not all that good. Honestly, like, there was nothing that blew my mind. The only matches I really enjoyed was the Seth and Brock, Kofi and Daniel Bryan, the SmackDown tag match was entertaining, and a little bit of the Batista match, and a little bit of the women's championship match. Like, it wasn't, nothing really stood out to me as being like great matches. Like, I didn't leave Jack Dempsey saying, damn, these are really good. Like, I did not leave it like that, where I've left some other Manias like that. So,
yeah.
For me, I'm giving it a C+ because of the feel good moments, right? Seth finally winning, Kofi making history, the ladies' title match. I'm giving it C+ simply because of those three feel good moments. Other than that, it was just okay. Like, there was, and you know what, Lewis? This Mania didn't feel like a spectacle to me. Like, there
you
was no,
so?
No, there was no crazy entrances. If you notice, they skimped out on the entrances except for H. Instead, now they're doing those stupid 3D graphics to save money and save budget.
Yeah, I hate them.
The staging was not as extravagant as all the other ones have been. It just didn't feel like a big fight feel, you know? Like, it didn't feel big. It didn't feel big at all. Like, it was missing the old school, like, special, like, this is a moment type of feel. It was just, I don't know, it was just very, it felt very, it just didn't feel like they took much time to make it a spectacle.
It didn't feel that to me. I mean, as far as great match, there was only truly one memorable match, like as far as match quality, and that was obviously Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as match quality, like that was hands down the best match of the night. But I kind of get what you're saying though. It didn't. But again, when was the last time WrestleMania really felt like that? It's too fucking long.
And it was, and that's another thing.
It drags. WrestleMania just drags now. It's not worth going to.
But see, Louis, it drags.
In some cases, it's not even worth sitting and watching the whole damn thing.
Now, dude, I think it drags because they're not putting in, they're not creating story to complement the great matches that we're expecting to see. Like, we're getting mediocre stories and mediocre wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, we're not getting. Like that's what made the Miz and Shane's match so interesting and to watch was the story and the performance they put on. Kofi and Bryan, right? But so if they kept that going for the entire night, match after match after match, maybe have that just one stinker match here and there. But yeah. if they kept that momentum going, it wouldn't and limited the match times, it wouldn't feel that long. It'll be like, damn, that was a good 10 minutes of like interesting work that these two just put in, instead of feeling like oh my god, this is a 6 to 7 hour show. It feels like 6 to 7 hours, right? Like, it just, there's nothing. When I think of WrestleMania, Lewis, I think of like old school WrestleManias where this was the culmination of matches where you're piecing people that you probably wouldn't see in matches together and seeing them on this stage, right? Like, you get in matches that are special, right?
Yeah,
and
it just didn't feel,
none of them felt special except for the Kofi and Daniel. Like, nothing, and maybe the women's match to an extent, but nothing else felt special. Like, and it didn't feel like you couldn't see this on Money in the Bank. Or Elimination Chamber, stuff like that. So,
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I think we're so far removed from that era, man. I mean, I know it's only been what 4 years since the last time WrestleMania had about 8 matches on a card, but yeah, they're not gonna go back to that because too much talent that they want to appease. And with the network, it's just a different business model. They can literally do whatever they want on the network. They don't have to be confined to the pay-per-view times because they don't do pay-per-view business anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really, or if they do, it's a very minimal amount. That's why they always say, watch this pay-per-view this Sunday only on the WWE network, as opposed to available on pay-per-view this Sunday. Like, the term pay-per-view, that's like really passe at this point for WWE. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's really calling their cable provider. You know what I mean? And like, oh yeah, can I get this next pay-per-view? Can I get the Royal Rumble tonight? Like, no, like, just pay $10 and watch the, whatever pay-per-view you want.
I agree.
So that's what it is. And because they have that over the top service, the streaming service, they're free to do whatever they want. So that's why they're going to make the show 7-8 hours long.
Yep. And you're right. This is too much talent, and they want to, and I get that they want to put everybody on TV, but man, it's just a little bit too long, bro.
I'm curious to know when WrestleMania comes back to Houston, whenever that is, because I'm sure that's inevitable. But man, oh man, let me tell you, I am not going to be jumping out of my seat for tickets to get to that. That, to me, that's not the hottest ticket in town. The hottest ticket in town is NXT TakeOver.
Is NXT, absolutely.
Or I'll just go to the Raw or SmackDown afterwards.
Yeah. But even this Raw is a little disappointing after Mania.
Ah, yes. Let's take a break and we'll talk about the aftermath, because usually the post WrestleMania Raw, you know, it's always a raucous crowd. It's usually a solid show, but from what I saw on TV and from what you reported back to me, not so good. So we'll get into Monday Night Raw just a bit. Well, us wrestling fans can never get enough. You would think that we are burnt the fuck out from NXT TakeOver, G1 Supercard, WrestleMania, but Keyote just kept on pushing. So he was in attendance at the Barclays Center for Monday Night Raw. So any overall thoughts? First of all, can I give my, I know you're going to give your in-person review, but can I give mine you know, watching it on, I guess, quote unquote TV, because I was watching it on TV. But I thought this was one of the weaker ones in recent memory, as far as post WrestleMania Raws are concerned. And how flat was that last segment with Kofi and Seth, and it turned into a tag match? I was like,
oh man,
you couldn't come up with anything better than this. But I'm gonna let you finish, man.
Lewis, that Brooklyn crowd went berserk when that happened. They were chanting AEW chants. They were chanting everything, man. Anything you could think of that would get somebody's attention, they were chanting. Very disappointing. very disappointing, Lewis.
God. And so you know, I'm sorry that it was disappointing for you to be in attendance, but it's just laughable because to think that you were actually going to go to wrestle, it was like a double-edged sword.
Oh my God.
It's like you either get disappointed for 8 hours or you get disappointed for 3.
Definitely a double-edged sword because, but I will tell you, Kate enjoyed the show. She enjoyed it. She really enjoyed it. She enjoyed seeing it live and seeing the stage and seeing the entrances and hearing the mute. Like, it was a real experience for her. The highlight of the night was
this her first wrestling event?
I'm sorry?
Was this her first wrestling event?
No, this is like her fourth or third.
Ah, okay.
First Raw, though. First Raw.
Ah, gotcha.
Right? And the highlight was when Undertaker came out. She loved it.
Oh, I didn't imagine.
It was something special, you know. So, I mean, for those parts, it was cool, like seeing Undertaker in person, all that good stuff. But like you said, it was one of the weaker of in a long time. I mean, it was cool to see Sami Zayn. Crowd was hot for Sami. But other than that, it was just okay. Like, they didn't go crazy for anybody else, really. Sammy was big, seeing Sammy. So it was just okay. Like, it wasn't special. Just wasn't special, Lewis.
Did you stay for Ambrose's send-off?
Yes. Okay. That was cool. That was cool to see. Ambrose made a speech. That was cool to see. And I'm glad we stayed for that because I was almost like, let's get the hell out of here before everybody starts. let's get out of here right now. But no, man, that part was special to see them in the ring and the good old, it's like the click send off. You know what I'm saying? Like, seeing all the guys, it was just like that. So that was cool to see. But other than that, it's a little weak, man. Little weak.
Yeah, my last experience going to Monday Night Raw was very similar. It was just, you know, an average, nothing special type of show. Which I'm at the point where I don't think I'm ever gonna attend another Raw taping or SmackDown taping. Like, unless it's a pay-per-view, I have no interest. Because Raw, especially these days, Raw can be very hit or miss. Especially for the fact that it's 3 hours, bro. That's too long for anything. I don't give a fuck how much of a fan you are of anything. 3 hours is long. Now, Endgame, that's a three-hour That's different. That's a three-hour payoff to an 11-year storyline. That's a little different. But, you know, for the most part, like, it's just to sit there at an arena and it's not that exciting. The only time – okay – this is my stipulation. If I ever go to a Raw, it's got to be because Tate is a wrestling fan and he legit wants to go. That's one. And two, it has to have a card that's very similar to a pay-per-view. Like the shit that they used to do back in the day where they would be like, in 2 weeks, this such and such is going to defend the title in a steel cage match. Like that kind of thing,
right.
You know?
Right, where
I know what I'm getting myself into. But even at that, that's back when Raw was only 2 hours. So yes. If I ever go to another taping, it'll probably be for SmackDown. And the reason why is because SmackDown is only 2 hours.
Right.
So I feel like the quality of the matches would be a little more condensed depending on the roster. But these days, I'd rather just go all out and go to a pay-per-view event or go to an NXT TakeOver. Honestly,
yeah, it's gotta be pay per view or takeover for me, man. Because you're right, Raw is a hit or miss, and you could get that 1 week of Raw where it's like crappy as hell.
Yeah, that's what I got last June.
Yeah, it's a hit or miss. So yeah, pay per view or takeover, man. Now I'm a takeover. I gotta go to takeover. That's gonna be the first thing. I would.
Now that you've actually attended one, now you're gonna be like, oh shit, like I gotta go to takeover.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm just like, man, forget the Royal Rumble. I want to go to TakeOver next January.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would definitely go to TakeOver. And was it Houston?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That should be good. That should be, was it next January? You think Velveteen will have the championship before January?
Who knows? I mean, that's a long time from now. That's like 9 months from now, who knows?
I just wonder, man. I wonder if they're going to give it to him before Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I know. I'm curious about that too. He might even make a special appearance at the Royal Rumble.
That's also true.
Yeah, you know what I'm hooked to now? Access. I want to go back to it. I would totally go back to Access for sure.
Access, yeah. Access was dope. Access was fun. Access was an experience, man. And I think it's different every time. Like, I think they find different things to exhibit and little activities and interactive things for the fans. Like,
yeah, I'd imagine it's not the same type of deal every year. I mean, maybe like the overall spectacle of it, but I'm sure they enhance it little by little every year because, yeah, it's kind of like if you go to a Comic-Con or a Comic-Palooza or WonderCon or any of these comic conventions, like, yeah, the overall gist of it is, you know, the merchandise, the costumes, all that stuff. But there's always little knickknacks that are different.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, let's get into Sasha Banks. I guess that'll be, like, the last thing before we wrap it up. So the story behind this is, Sasha Banks and Bayley for forever, what seems like forever, they've been fighting for a women's tag team division, trying to get tag team championships for the females off the ground, especially because Sasha Banks has been a trailblazer since coming up to the main roster, even before coming up to the main roster, since NXT, as well as Bayley. So, you know, it was well-deserved when they became the first tag team champions at Elimination Chamber. And like you had mentioned before, I thought they were going to have a well-deserved long reign, at least, you know, a 5 to 6 month reign.
Right.
That wasn't the case here. And I think what pissed Sasha Banks off was the fact that they told her shortly before their match. And I'm not saying like 5 minutes before the match, but what I mean is they told her the day of. You know what? That would piss me off too. Because it's like, yo, we worked our asses off and we want a lengthy reign and we're over, obviously. Like, we're two of the most popular chicks in the company. But yet, we're dropping the titles to the Iconics. And right. I'm sure that pissed them off, too. So, by the way, Nia Jax got injured, I believe, in that match, too. Or maybe
She's undergoing both knee surgery, man. ACLs.
Yeah, she's going to be out for the rest of the year, easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tough break, man. Lots of injuries coming out of last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you got Nia, you got Big E.
Torn meniscus. You got AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
Ronda Rousey breaking her hand. Yeah, it's a very
and trying to make a baby week. And trying to make a baby at the same time. So I mean,
shit.
Yeah, man, it's a changed landscape. They're gonna have to start really pushing some more talent, man. Like, they're really gonna have to push some guys, you know, get some EC3 action in there, start making him legitimate, like, get some things going, man, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that reminds me of, like, what the hell are they gonna do with Sasha Banks? Like, what is this situation? So apparently they go backstage after the match, and she gets into it with one of the producers backstage while Vince is present. Vince is not really paying attention because he's got like a million other things to do. But they get into some type of scuffle, and it causes Dana Brooke to have a busted lip. It's just like that. Like, so then they go back to their locker room. Her and Bailey are just laid out on the floor, and they did the same thing at their hotel, just bitching about the whole situation. She cancels her appearance on Wendy Williams. She's just really irate, livid at the fact that she's not appreciative of how she's being treated currently by creative. And she's sending out all of these cryptic tweets. She unfollowed WWE apparently and followed AEW.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, this is like a developing story as it unfolds, unless some news broke out tonight. What do you think? What's to make of this?
You know, I've always liked Sasha Banks. I always thought that she, in some cases, looked like she was gonna destroy herself in the ring. Sometimes, like, she's not the best person when it comes to protecting yourself in the ring.
Yeah.
I think what we got here is a disgruntled employee.
mm-hmm. Oh, like a CM Punk kind of situation, yeah. Right?
Like a CM Punk type of thing, disgruntled employee. And I think what we have to do, what we're seeing is someone who probably needs some time off to rethink things. And if she comes back and wants to leave, then she thought things out and feels unappreciated by the company.
Yeah.
You know? These rumors of, not rumors, but these stories of wrestlers being feeling like they're not being appreciated or having zero creative control and stuff like that, that's all true from WWE, man. That is all true. And, you know, I could see her feeling like they got crapped on. Like, we're the first women tag team champions, and you're going to have us drop to the Iconics on WrestleMania? Like,
yeah.
How that's horrible. Horrible. So I can see why they feel that way. She feels that way. And then Bailey on Raw comes out and jobs to Alexa Bliss. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about
she
that.
Came out job to Alexa Bliss, bro. Like, I just feel
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. So is she gone or not? Like, what's the deal?
You brought up a good point. I think she should take time off just to reevaluate things in her mind. That's really all I could think of. I mean, she can't just jump the gun and just say, oh, I'm leaving WWE. She's going to be leaving a lot of money on the table because she's still a top act.
But, Lewis, I think, you know what, man? Yes, it's a lot of money, but, dude, I honestly think these wrestlers, when they're in the WWE, they make so much money, and I think they're pretty okay with leaving and going for peace of mind and being creative. I almost think they'd rather do that. That's part of the reason why Dean Ambrose is leaving.
Good point.
Is because he's tired. He wants to be his own character. Like, he wants to have some type of control and say in something he does. And, you know, I don't think he felt like that at WWE. And, you know, Dean made all the money in the world with WWE. He traveled the world with them. So why not try something different that's going to allow him to be creative. So, you know, I think that was a decent move for him. You know, I think that was a good move. So,
I thought it was a good move too.
Yeah, I thought it was a good move. So, I honestly think these wrestlers are willing to give up that part for being more in control of their destinies in some way, right? In some way. Yeah. So I think that's what's going on with Sasha. I think Sasha has always felt like she's been looked at as the underdog in Vince's eyes. I could see Vince not caring about her at all. You know, like I could see Vince like completely shitting on her all the time. I could totally see that. So, and he probably doesn't pay attention to her. Like he probably really, and she's probably feeling very sensitive about that as well. So, I get why she's frustrated. I get it. But we shall see, man. I don't know where this is going to lead.
Yeah, we're just going to have to follow the story as it develops. Yeah. I know that the Superstar Shakeup was tonight. I got to read the results on that. I so far I'm disappointed because they brought up the War Raiders and now they're known as the Viking
Experience. Lewis, come on, man. That is the worst name ever.
The who's Viking gonna take, Experience.
Who's going to take those guys seriously?
I don't know. Vince just needs to go somewhere, man.
Lewis, that sounds like a ride at Universal Studios, not WWE badass wrestlers. Like, come on, man. The Viking Experience. Oh my God, that's.
I can't wait till we get back on and do an episode on, you know, like 5 months from now, if the current Superstar Shakeup worked out or not, or is working
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're definitely going to have to do a show on that because I don't know what the hell they're doing. The Viking, who came up with, if that's what creative comes up with and gets paid to do, then I need to apply for a writer job, bro. Like, I mean, like,
go ahead, man, because.
I mean, listen, come on. I don't care if I do like 3 storylines and get fired, but I bet my shit would be 10 times better. Like, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. The Viking Experience. What a joke. What a joke.
Yeah, I that's dude, gonna, hear, I'm telling you, that's going to be a topic for another time, man.
I know, man. And they're struggling to say the name. Like, it just sounds.
They even changed their names. They're not even Hansen and Rowe anymore. They're like Ivar and Eric.
Yeah, like Ivar.
I'm done. I'm done for the night. I'm done for the night, bro.
No, like, man. That's it. I hear you. That's a perfect way to end off. Perfect way.
Yeah, but overall, man, I want to thank you so much for coming on and doing a 2-part episode, and I want to thank you for making my WrestleMania weekend one for the ages. I don't think I'll ever have a WrestleMania weekend like that ever again.
Dude, it was mad fun. It was we had a good time, dude. We really had a good time.
Hopefully who knows, maybe we could do that again some other time.
Yeah, man, maybe, listen, maybe I come down to Houston, man. If you want to do that Royal Rumble thing, man, maybe take over Rumble. I don't know.
Yeah, don't know. Let's see, man. We can put that in the works.
Put that in the works, man.
All right, man. This concludes our WrestleMania weekend hangover edition of Let Me Just Say This. This is part 2, and we are officially signing off because now we are on the road to the post-WrestleMania lull.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's going to be a big one.
All right, bro. Thanks for coming on. And we'll keep in touch because I'm sure there's going to be lots of shit to talk about in the next few weeks.
Yes, sir. Lewis, it's been a pleasure, man. It's been a pleasure.
Been a pleasure as well. Always, man. Peace out.
Later.